Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
My heart is like pounding.
So is mine.
Welcome back to Wind Down. This is so sorry for everyone listening right now. This is not easy. I have Sarah Gretzky.
Hi.
In Nashville with me. She surprised me yesterday. And
we're gonna get you through this. We're gonna get you through this.
For those of you that haven't seen the news, I filed for divorce a few weeks ago, and it has not been easy, I'll say that. And honestly, I don't even know, like, I don't even know if I want to do this show anymore, if I'm being completely honest. You know, I started the show, you know, by myself, and something I always wanted to do. And then, you know, once Mike came on as a guest, and then we talked about our stuff, and, you know, he said that he loved sharing. And so then we partnered together, and but then it just felt like ours. And so now it feels weird not having him on here. And I don't know, like, it's not, it's just, it feels weird. It's like a,
I mean, I can imagine. So this was y'all's thing that took off. This has always been your thing, but, you know, when you guys joined together, it really became, I mean, it was the two of you, and now you're here, which is so, I don't even know how you're doing it. You're so strong. And that's what I want you to know, that everyone listening right now loves you, has your back, and you could come on here and talk about absolutely nothing, and everyone is still going to cheer for you and lift you up. So just know that you have an insane army behind you of all of these listeners who are literally just tuning in today to hear that you're okay. Like, they just want to know that you're okay. And it takes so, you've got balls to be able to come on here, and you're so strong to be able to, you know, address it. And I'm just amazed. So cry and take.
No one wants to hear an hour of crying.
No, but I mean, you won't.
No sniffling. I know, because Mark is like, stop the sniffling.
No, but you, I mean, it's hard right now. And even last night, like, I definitely think you're better. Like, you are. Yeah, I know you might not feel it, but it takes time. I mean, it's fresh. But even, you know, every day, so cliche, but every day you're tackling something and you're feeling better. You know?
I don't know about that. I feel like it goes in waves. I feel like I'm so in the middle of the grieving, where it's like, and when I grieve, I isolate, and I like, I don't respond to, like, my people, and I just, like, stay in bed. And I had a friend come over the other day, and she was just like, I'm here for the grieving, but at the same time, she's like, you have to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know how sometimes. It's like, and it's like, the days that, you know, and obviously I have to because of the kids, but the morning and the night are the hardest, because it's like, I wake up and it's like that scene in Sex and the City where she's like, was it a dream? Mm-hmm. And then at night, it's like I can't sleep. And it's like, you know me, I'm usually in bed by 8:30 and, like,
yes,
lights out by 9. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like counting the clock at 2 in the morning and being like, oh God, I got to get up and, you know, be the best mom I can be. But it's like, I've never, it's so hard when I have all these feelings and emotions, and then I have to be a mom mm-hmm. on top of it. It's like, it's, I almost like the first week I counted down to nap time because I was like, okay, I can go in my room and just like shut the door and like cry in my, like, just like cry, you know, and then like button it back up by like, because it's like, obviously I don't want the kids seeing this.
Of course. And I think that's, I mean, everything you're saying right now, anyone who's been through this, I think this is so normal and so relatable. Like, you're not alone in feeling this way. It's just something that you're trying to navigate and you're doing the best that you can. And like you said, it's like, of course you're grieving, but it's like the kids are up at seven. You don't have time to grieve. It is game time all day for you. And so I think that you're doing the best that you can. Like, you really, really are. I've only been here for a day, but I've seen it. And
well, you caught me. I was angry. No. I've been sad, 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 sad. And then I hit you saw me on my one angry day.
But I think it's okay to be angry. And I think it's healthy to be angry because, you know, everyone goes through waves. First you're sad, then first we get sad, then we get mad. And I think it's okay. Whatever you're feeling, even if you were feeling happy or whatever you feel, it's okay to feel that. And I think that's important for you to just remind yourself that you're doing the best you can. Nobody ever expected this.
Yeah.
Like, this was not something you were like, I mean, not that anyone's ever prepared, but like, you know?
Yeah, I do owe it to, you know, you and my friends. It's because I still can't physically do things because of my freaking boob job that I got. So I can't lift things. I can't, you know, and it's like I've had friends come over here and, you know, now I can do it all. But like, well, not all of it, but like I couldn't even put glasses in the dishwasher because I was so depressed. Like I was like, I literally had my girls on rotation being like, doing my dishes, taking my trash out, you know, like helping clean the house, like helping me. Well, I'm just like a zombie. And that was like for 2 weeks. I was just now I just kind of go in and out of like crying. And then because I didn't want this at the end of the day, like I think where I'm at is I'm embarrassed. Like I'm embarrassed by. Yeah, I'm embarrassed that this is how it ended. And then I also feel like I let people down because it's, you know, we've come out here and we fought for it, but really the words that was spoken wasn't, I don't know. They were honest from me is what I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm speechless. Like I'm trying to find words and I don't want you to feel any of those things, embarrassed, whatever it is, because I mean, I'm someone who considers myself in the circle, in the mix, podcasts with you guys, shows with you guys. I was so, this took me by, like, I was completely, completely shook and shocked at all of this. So I can't even imagine how it was for you. And I just, yeah,
Yeah, I mean, I did too, because even a few days before things came to light, we were like, wow, we're really good right now, you know? And it was like, that was where it was just like I thought we were good. And, you know, even people on Instagram were like, you guys seem so happy. And I was like, yeah, I thought so too. You know, it's where it's like, yeah. But I do want to say thank you to everyone who's reached out, and I've saved so many DMs and messages, and I appreciate just hearing how you guys have walked through the same path and gotten to the other side, because right now I don't see the other side. Right now I'm just like, I'm going to be alone forever. And the, like, you know, I'm kind of playing the, you know, the sob story. You know, just hearing your guys' stories, but also like what kind of breaks my heart too, is there's been so many messages of people being like, how did you get the courage to leave? I want to leave. I don't know how, you know, like I'm scared. I'm like, there was actually more messages of that. And I was shocked by it. But at the same time, I'm like, I still don't have the strength. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just something where it's like, I have no choice.
Mm. That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I think so many people are in your situation, and it's either whether they turn a blind eye or they are in it for the kids or whatever reason. But it's sad to think that there are people who are struggling out there and look at you as like, you know, how did you do it?
Like, you're so strong. I'm like, I am the weakest I've ever been. Like, maybe hopefully in the future, like, I'll feel that strength. But I'm like, I went to my therapist a few weeks ago and being like, you know what, fine, I'll live this life. It's okay. Like, I don't want to break up my family. Cause my whole thing is like, I didn't want this for the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I've stayed for my kids, you know, even when other things happen. And my therapist was like, you don't want to live that life where you're just constantly like, it's taking your light away. It's taking your
100%
everything. And I'm just like, yeah, but my kids, and like, we'll be together. And like, I don't want,
like, the first time that they like leave for overnight, I'm going to be destroyed. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I worked for. It's not what I fought for.
And it's not fucking fair. And that makes me so angry. It's like that I worked too damn hard for it to end this way.
Yeah, you did.
But I just feel like now I'm like, I don't like how, like, there'd be no way. Like, and in my mind, I'm like, I asked some people, like, how, like, okay, how could I try again? Like, give me. But then I realized, I was like, I'm now weak.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought I was strong by staying. I'm now weak for staying, because I'm staying because I don't want to be alone. Mm-hmm. I'm staying because I want to keep my family together. And I don't know if I believe a change anymore.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, I mean, it's so hard, the scenarios back and forth, but I think in certain scenarios, you know, it is strong to stay. But I think in this scenario, you are so strong for walking away. Like, I know you don't feel it, but like, you're sitting here crying for your family. Like, you will look back, like, the strength. I mean, I know I keep bringing up today or last, but like the last 24 hours, like, the strength that I see is like, I can't even imagine. So you are so strong, even though it doesn't feel like it right now. But I think you're right. You really just had no choice.
I mean, I had friends that were like, basically tell me they would lose respect for me. And those were the friends that were always like, we love you and support you no matter what, mm-hmm. You know?
And that's tough, because that's tough. But as a friend, you can only watch someone go through so much before it actually starts to kill you as the friend.
Well, and I realized, I'm like, I told my therapist this, I was like, I feel like now I'm the addict, where I'm addicted, and I've been doing meetings and stuff. And someone who, she's a friend of mine, she's a sex and love addict, and she's kind of like my sponsor. I've never really asked her, but I've been calling her so much. Her name's Brianne, and she, I was like, Brianne, I was like, I feel like I'm coming off of heroin. Like, I'm like, I've never touched a drug before, but that's what it feels like, where I'm just like, I need it. Like, yeah. But it's like, what do I need? Like, that's not healthy. Mm-mm. Like, that's not, I don't even know what that healthy version looks like anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, but it's just, I've never felt that coming off of something like that. And I just, it sucks.
I know. And I hate seeing you like this. I hate that you feel this way, but I genuinely believe, and I've told you this 1,000 times, you're getting probably sick of it, but I genuinely believe that when you come out of all of this, whether it's a month, 6 months, a year, 5 years, your light, you are going to shine so bright. You thought you were happy 2-3 years ago. Like, you don't even know happy. And I genuinely believe that, like, you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm just so, you're going to radiate happiness and sunshine to the people. Your friends are going to look at you and be like, you know, you did it. You're so strong. You didn't think you were strong. And I know I keep saying that, but like, I think it's been hard for you. I think this has been really hard for you, because like any relationship, ups and downs, everything, but you know, I can't wait for you to just be a ray of sunshine that you are, but like times 10, because you really are going to.
I mean, people keep saying that, but I'm just like, I don't feel that. Like, and that's where I'm just like, I lay in bed and I'm just like, where I go through my, like, I'm going to be alone and like, I'm not going to be with the kids and this, that, and the other. And it's like, I want to believe that, but I don't feel that now. That's kind of where I'm at.
And that's okay to not feel it now, 100%.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. I had a question kind of based on what Sarah was just saying about how hard it's been for you. Is there any part of you that feels relief that you no longer have to be wondering, no longer waiting for the other shoe to drop?
There's definitely moments where it's like, it's nice to not have to wonder, worry, look, because I was always so afraid of that moment. And, you know, we had a conversation a few weeks before everything kind of came to light. And I was just like, if there's anything, like, just tell me, I don't want to find it. Like, whatever it is, like, we can work through it. Because I just don't want to, and like, it was such a connected moment, and you know, he swore on his sobriety, there was nothing. And but knowing now that like what I know, and not having to look at things and question and wonder and worry, there is some relief in that. But I'm not fully there yet. I think I'll get there once I get past all the other emotions, because everything else is kind of like, my friends are reminding me of that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But there's still so much sadness. And most of the sadness just comes from my kids, because they didn't deserve this. They didn't ask for this. And then also the dream of what I thought it was going to be. And the who I thought I was working with, and the who, you know, he said to all of us who he was, you know. So it's not having that really be a reality is kind of a slap in the face.
Well, I saw a quote today that I thought of you. I thought the quote is, "The moment you start to believe you deserve better, you do." So I am happy for you. And I do think that, like Sarah was saying, you will look back on this as a turning point one day, and a year from now, 2 years from now, you'll be very happy that you made the decision you did.
I'm going to be alone, Mark, forever.
You're not.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that.
Because you're going to be so happy. You're going to attract people to you that you didn't need. Like, here's the thing, though. And like, I have so much work to do on myself, because I've just picked the worst, like my first guy, which I hate, you know, saying this, but like, you know, I hate when they're like, you've been married, you know, three. It's like, my first guy I met in 2 weeks, we went to, you know, Vegas and got married. I was 19. Like, I was an idiot. I don't consider that a marriage. No. And he ended up trying to kill me. The second guy, we were married for a week. Like, no, those two were not marriages. No. I wish I could just wipe those. I'm like, this is my first marriage. This is what I've fought for. And like, but I just, I was reading in my diary, just like, cause I was like, I got to figure this out. Like, and why am I still wanting something that doesn't want to, you know, change and grow and fight. And, I mean, I know it has nothing to do with me, but I'm like, why do I still like, I have this thing in me where I'm just like, I've never felt like I was good enough. And I don't know if that came from, you know, my parents' divorce. I don't know. I mean, I know some of it, like why, but I look back on my journal entries and it's like, I know I need to leave, but why can't I? And I'm like, why was I so weak? Why am I pining for like these men to like love me? You know, I don't know if it's weak or if you just didn't know, you didn't have the tools. Or you didn't understand. And now I think you do. Like you said, I mean, I think it's really big of you to admit that you have work to do on yourself. I think that's huge. Like that you are owning this and saying, I got to work on myself too. And that's why, you know, don't blame you. I don't want you to blame yourself, because I think all of us in this little circle right here can literally, I mean, we all worked very closely together. Like, I think it's not like you were, you know, this came out of left field.
I'm going to do the work, though, and I'm going to attract one day, not now.
No.
One day, hopefully I'll be healthy to attract healthy.
100%. And you're going to have like 10 of us behind you having our checklist, making sure.
I can't even think about that right now.
No, exactly. Please don't. Focus on you.
Oh, no, no. That is like the farthest thing from my brain.
I know it is. I know it is. You and those kids are, which is a perfect thing to focus on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything? Mark, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What, like, how do we go forward? Because I don't know. I'm like, I don't want this to be now like the divorce guide, you know, of single mamas. I don't want, you know, it's like, I don't.
You want like a re.
Like what, like, how do we rebrand this? What do we do? I don't even know. Like.
I don't know that we need to, it's a rebrand necessarily. That's such a cold way of looking at it. I think this has always been about your journey, you know, mm-hmm. because this show started as just you. Now it's you again in the future. Who knows what it'll be? It's going to evolve. It's going to continue. People listen for you. They love you mm-hmm. and they want to know about you. And now it's going to be about you pulling it all back together again, rebuilding somewhat, but it's also going to be the people you talk to and what's going on in your life. And the kids did this. And I think there's plenty of, there's so much positive in your life that we'll be able to focus on. I don't think it's going to be a sad divorcee podcast from now on.
And you have so many fans. You're like, you brought people here, you know, the two of you didn't, maybe you brought some, but you, like we've all said, you started this. This was a dream of yours. And I think you have so many people who are like, you know, listening right now, yelling at their phone, like, no, please keep doing this. Like, we love you. We are here for you. We want to hear you. And so I agree with Mark.
Well, I'll keep going. As
I mean, at your, you know, let's keep you healthy.
Yeah. We have Gabby Bernstein coming on the show. She's a number one New York Times bestselling author. We've had her on the show before, but she's basically an awesome life coach and writer. And just, I mean, she needs to inspire us. So
can't wait.
Let's take a break and then get her on. Okay, so really happy to have Gabby on because hopefully she'll give us some insights, because I gotta believe that I'm not the only person going through grief and trauma.
You're not.
Yes, and I know that. So that's why, you know, like I said, I'm not gonna have each episode be this heavy thing, but I also am at the point of where of my kind of grieving and of and loss is. Now I need something to that I can like hold on to. So I guess, Gabby, my first question is, you know, well, I'll ask this too, because I've been told that it's not good to just mask grieving and not grieve. Like you have to sit in it, right?
I think that you have to fully feel something all the way through to completion
mm-hmm.
until you know that you have given yourself the full-bodied expression of the emotional experience to allow it to actually move through you ultimately. And it may be a daily practice. It might be a daily practice of living in that full expression of feeling the grief. And what happens for most people is when they push past that grief and that suffering, they may move beyond it through anesthetizing it with, you know, the next relationship or the drugs and the alcohol or the work addiction or whatever it is that they can numb it out with, but it's still there. it doesn't actually go away. The energetic disturbance is still dwelling. So the more you give yourself permission to go there now, to feel the experience all the way through, to give yourself permission to grieve, the better you will be faster, the healthier you will be faster. And I actually want to take back the word better, because what's better, right? Better today is just that you're feeling more. Better today is that you're giving yourself more permission to feel. So it's not that you're getting better, but you'll be freer from the experience the more you allow yourself to experience it.
Mm-hmm. How do you, I think I'm stuck in the, like what ifs. It's like, what if he does change this time? Or what if, like, this person would change? And it's like, how do you kind of not focus on the what ifs and just start living your life?
You have to talk back to the what ifs, because they're not real. The mm-hmm. what ifs are a projection from the past onto the present, or a projection of a future that doesn't exist. So a what if something could have been differently, or what if it could be different in the future, is not real. It doesn't exist. All that's real is what's happening right here in this moment. So this sounds really esoteric and pretty like self-help new agey, but it's the most valuable thing you could do, is to be fully present in the moment with whatever is up today and show up for today without the digging up the past and the future tripping of the future. Mm-hmm. Because all there is right here, right now. That's it. That's all there is. There's nothing else. Mm-hmm. There is no what if yesterday was different, or what if tomorrow could be a different way I want it to be. It doesn't exist.
Mm. I mean, when you went through your miscarriage, Sarah, how did you get out of your grief?
I really allowed myself to feel it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like you. I go into hiding. I go underground. It's probably not the healthiest, but for me, that's what is best. Like, I just need to step back, cry it out. And then I'm someone who, it's almost like I shed that, like I felt it, I allowed myself to feel it, and then I can kind of grow from it. And that's why, I think like what you guys are saying, like whatever your grieving process is, allow it, because, you're either going to be someone who goes and drinks every single night or copes with it in whatever way that you feel, or you're going to face it. And I think facing it, as hard as it is, better.
So when someone says that they don't want to sit in it, and that we all grieve differently, and they go off and do fun things, that's really not the healthiest version.
Well, I always say that you have to show up for what's up, or it will keep showing up. So, okay, you want to go party for a week because you just need to let it out, or you just need to numb out. Okay, we all have coping mechanisms that we may rely on from time to time. And as long as they're not life-threatening or harming others, okay, maybe we need them for a mm-hmm. moment. That's okay. But you don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay mm-hmm. stuck there, because you don't want to avoid what's up. You need to show up for it. If you don't show up for it, it'll keep coming up. It'll come up in the next relationship. It'll come up in the next job experience, or whatever the issue may be. If it's not resolved in the present, it's going to continue to manifest in the future.
So if I go to Miami for what would have been my 6-year wedding anniversary, that's okay for me to like not continue to sulk a month later. And it's like, it's okay for me to like go out, but I need to come back.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I think that grieving isn't about always being upset. I think that there's allowing yourself, as we've already said, to be fully present, to feel it all the way through, to truly allow yourself the permission to go there. And then to also give yourself permission to have good days, mm-hmm. give yourself permission to have fun, go to Miami, dance on the table, whatever, do your thing, because you need to live it minute by minute. Mm-hmm. When you're in traumatic grief, it is a minute by minute thing. It's not, okay, I'm going to be good in a month or 2 months. It's like, what am I doing right in this moment? Mm-hmm. Did I shower today? Mm-hmm.
How do you, cause that's where I'm like, is it depression? Cause it takes so much energy for me to even put like my bowl in the sink now. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. it takes like every part of, and it's, I'm like, God, I'm like, I feel weak. Like, I feel like I'm like this weak person that I'm like, I can't even like it's almost like I just want to snap out of it. But it's like, that's, I just feel like my body is just kind of like, I'm just feel, is it depression or is that just a part of grief?
Depression is a part of grief. But I actually have a hit that I want to do something with you. Would you be open to doing something that I think could give you a lot of relief right now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. So this is called emotional freedom technique. It's otherwise known as tapping. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Do you know what this is?
I've done like, is it similar to like EMDR?
It's quite similar to EMDR. So EMDR otherwise is known as eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And I think absolutely epic for you right now would be to get into some regular EMDR
sessions. I'm doing
twice
a week.
Well, there you go. You are hooked up. You are on the fast track to freedom. I'm proud of you. That's amazing. So EMDR was extraordinarily beneficial for me when I was going through deep trauma recovery of my own in my own way. And I can say you're all hooked up now. Similar to EMDR, EFT addresses the emotional disturbance and it expands that window of tolerance to feel into things that we otherwise might be too protective of. And it also allows us to regulate our nervous system so that we can actually process things with a greater sense of safety rather than being in that fight flight response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
What you do is you tap on different energy meridians and you're going to follow me. You tap on the side of your hand, eyebrow, side of the eye, under the nose, the chin, the collarbone, under the arm, and the top of the head. You're going to follow me, so you don't have to remember that.
Okay.
And I'll say it also, so if someone's listening, they can tap along with us. Yes, tap with us because you, whoever's tapping along will borrow the benefits of the tapping as well. So this is where we begin. Well, you're going to follow me, but the main process is we tap on the most pressing issue, the real disturbance, the grief, the trauma, we're going to let you name it. And then when I recognize I see a change, I'm going to start to guide you into the positive, but only when I notice that it's safe enough to go there. And we may go, if you hear me talking about things that are like, oh, that sucks. I really hate that she's saying that. That's good. Like let's be real. This is no small talk. It's just going right into big talk. I don't even need to describe it too much. I want you to experience it. So tap with me while we talk for a second, just tap on the side of that karate chop point right here. And just talk to me for a second about the most pressing issue right now. Just in your own words, what is the most pressing issue?
That my family isn't together anymore.
My family isn't together anymore.
And or that I lost,
I lost my family. I lost
the. I lost the. The dreams of our family being together as a unit.
I lost my dream of my family to being. I lost my dream of my family. Okay. And anyone else that's tapping along with us, they can apply this to any form of loss that they may be having. It may not be specific to you, but it's their own loss. Okay. Now, from a scale of 0 to 10, where is that grief? Where is that pain?
Oh, 0 10.
Totally. Okay. So just repeat after me. And just so I'm super clear, the most pressing issue is I say it again in your own words. I want to hear it exactly.
I mean, God, there's like a million, but yeah, the most pressing I would say is that I didn't want this. I didn't want my family to not be together.
Okay, I didn't want my family not to be together. Okay. So repeat after me. Even though I didn't want my family not to be together.
Even though I didn't want my family not to be together.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Take your time. Keep tapping and breathing.
I just don't believe that yet.
Yep. Even if you don't believe it, just say the words. Repeat after me.
I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
Even though I never wanted my family not to be together.
Even though I never wanted my family to be together.
Not together. Well, I'll change it up a little. I deeply and completely.
I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
And even though I'm devastated that my family's not together. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
Now let's go to the eyebrow point. And the eyebrow point is right there where the hair of your eyebrow meets the bone. And I'm at a 10. And just repeat after me. I'm at a 10.
I'm at a 10.
Side of the eye. I never wanted my family not to be together.
I never wanted my family not to be together.
Under the eye. I couldn't have imagined this.
I could not have imagined this.
Under the nose. I can't even get the bowl in the sink.
I can't even get the bowl in the sink.
Chin. I can't get the bowl in the sink.
I can't get the bowl in the sink.
Collarbone. All this pain.
All this pain.
Under the arm. All this what ifs.
All the what ifs.
Top of the head. I never didn't want my family not to be together.
I never didn't want my family not to be together.
Eyebrow point. I never wanted my family to split up.
I never wanted my family to split up.
Side of the eye. Having a hard time forgiving myself.
I'm having a hard time forgiving myself.
Under the eye, I'm having a hard time accepting myself.
I'm having a hard time accepting myself.
Under the nose. I'm having trouble accepting myself.
I'm having trouble accepting myself.
Chin. Having some trouble accepting myself.
I'm having some trouble accepting myself.
Collarbone. And all that means to me.
And all that means to me.
Under the arm. This fucking sucks.
This fucking sucks.
Top of the head. This really fucking sucks.
This really fucking sucks.
Eyebrow. Why me?
Why me?
Side of the eye. I never saw this coming.
I never saw this coming.
Under the eye. I never thought this would be me.
I never thought this would be me.
Under the nose. Fucking sucks.
It sucks.
Under the chin. It really, really sucks.
It really, really fucking sucks.
Collarbone. It really, really fucking sucks.
It really, really fucking sucks.
Yes. Really fucking sucks.
Fucking sucks.
Top of the head. And I just want relief.
And I just want relief.
Eyebrow. And I'm working for it.
And I'm working for it.
Side of the eye. I'm doing my two EMDR sessions a week.
I'm doing my sessions, two EMDR sessions a week.
Under the eye. And I'm doing my work.
And I'm doing my work and reading a shit ton of self-help books.
Under the nose. I'm reading a shit ton of self-help books.
I'm reading a shit ton of self-help books.
And the chin. And that is something I'm proud of.
And that is something I am proud of.
Collarbone. I'm really actually quite proud of myself.
I am proud of myself.
Under the arm. I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of myself.
Top of the head. I'm showing up for myself.
I'm showing up for myself.
Eyebrow. I'm showing up for myself in the present moment.
I'm showing up for myself in the present moment.
Side of the eye. I'm showing up for myself in the present moment.
I'm showing up for myself in the present moment.
Under the eye. I'm showing up for myself for the future.
I'm showing up for myself for the future.
And under the nose, everything I'm doing now is hooking me up for my future.
Everything I'm doing now is hooking me up for my future.
Under the chin. I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of myself.
Collarbone. I accept myself.
I accept myself.
I really can accept myself right now.
I really can accept myself right now.
And this is the only moment that matters right now.
And this is the only moment that matters right now.
One more round. I accept myself right now.
I accept myself right now.
Side of the eye. I accept myself right now.
I accept myself right now.
Under the eye. I accept and forgive myself right now.
I accept and forgive myself right now.
Under the nose, I accept and forgive myself right now.
I accept and forgive myself right now.
Chin. I'm doing great.
I'm doing good.
Collarbone. I'm doing as good as I can do today.
I'm doing as good as I can do today.
Under the arm, I'm doing as good as I can do today.
I'm doing as good as I can do today.
On top of the head, I'm doing as good as I can do today.
I'm doing as good as I
can do today. Now take a deep breath in and just place your right hand on your heart and your left hand on your belly and breathe in. On the exhale, let it go. Take a cannonball breath, like breathe deep in, and on the exhale, cannonball breath, let it go. And just when you're ready, just open your eyes and just notice what you notice about your body. And from a scale of 0 to 10 now, with the same most pressing issue, I never wanted my family to split up. Where are you now?
I'm about 5.
Girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your bravery. That was a little bit long tapping, but I hope people borrowed it, because when you tap along, the listener or the viewer can borrow the benefits, even if it's not exactly related to them.
Mm-hmm.
You cut it in half in 7 minutes, maybe 6 mm-hmm. minutes. I don't know how long that was. So I think that the point I want to give you is that these practices, EMDR, EFT, reading the self-help books, talking about it, moving physically, whatever it is that's working for you, you add it up and you add it up and you add it up and you add it up. And each day that goes by, it gets easier and easier because you're showing up for it.
Right. Gabby, you're everywhere. You're incredible. For people that haven't heard of you before, what books can they get? Where can they find you so that they can reap the benefits that we just got today?
I mean, I think the best place that people could find me, I've written a lot of books, but the best place is I just started a podcast called Dear Gabby, where I workshop people just like we did here. This wasn't my intention today. I was coming just to riff with you, but when I see suffering, it's like, I'm a fixer. I got to just go in and just fix. And especially when I see that there's a desire, when there's a willingness, which you've offered up beautifully. So I started my own podcast this week called Dear Gabby, and it's me workshopping, coaching people in this way, very extemporaneously, with all kinds of trauma and suffering. And my primary intention for that podcast is to shift the shame and stigmas and speak about the unspeakable, to give voice to the unspoken shame, the things that people don't talk about. Mm-hmm. And to normalize it. We're all suffering.
Yeah.
One of the fastest ways to acceptance that we're all of our own suffering is to recognize that we're not alone in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called Dear Gabby on all your Apple and podcast players. That's where I would send people these days.
Well, I know what I'm listening to now.
So literally.
Gabby, thank you so much. And I'm going to be sliding into your DMs because I'm going to just need you every day. So.
Listen, I'm proud of you. I think that it's extremely brave to be vulnerable. And the greatest gift you can give yourself in the world is your authentic truth and your vulnerability. So just applaud yourself. And I also think that you're going to go through this experience looking back so proud of your bravery and your vulnerability.
Thanks, Gabby. Thank you, Gabby. I appreciate it. Everyone, listen to Dear Gabby wherever you listen to your podcast, and then get her books because they're incredible. Thanks, Gabby.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Seriously, really appreciate it. I got to say, I've slid into a few other like self-help DMs. I'm like, help me.
I mean, why not?
like give me like, because it's like, I don't know if you went through this with your miscarriage, but I mean, it's grief is grief, you know, like, I don't think you can measure people's pain. And, you know, and that is, I remember going through it just being the worst pain ever, you know, going through a miscarriage, and you just want to find like hope. You want to find.
Totally. And I think like what Gabby said, like you're ready, willing and able. You're not someone who thinks like, I don't need the help. Like, I think it says a lot that you're like, no, 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 help me. What can I do to get better? What can I do to be a better person, better mom? You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, I
keep sliding because self-help.
It's just there's nothing better than like getting just hope, even though you don't feel the hope. It's just like, I've been knee deep in like quotes.
I'm all about the quotes and the words. Like, say it as many times as you need, read it as many times as you need. I really think that there is something, words, there's something about words.
Yeah. And it's also about connecting with people that have been there as well. So I have, I talked about her earlier in the show about how she's been a light in the darkness for me, and someone who's really helping me kind of walk along my recovery journey as, you know, as a love addict, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like, I want love and I don't want to be alone. Mm-hmm. And so we have Breanne Davis on the show. Hi, Breanne.
Hi, lovely ladies.
Breanne is a sex and love addict, and she has been walking, you know, you guys had her on the show last year, and just walking through this journey with me. And, you know, she'll text me and be like, hey, I'm about to hop on a meeting. And I've done some meetings, and it's been really nice to just have a community. Can you speak to on that community, Breanne, just of like how important it is to find something like that when you're in places of grief and needing connection?
Yeah. I mean, the first step is you're not alone. Other people are going through the same pain, the same feeling, the same loss, the powerlessness. You know, when we look outside of ourselves for someone to fix us or be the answer or get an unavailable person to love us that's not capable of loving us, to find a community, to get on a meeting with 30 other people, 100 other people, 300 other people, because they're worldwide, and say, oh my God, I'm not alone. That person is feeling the same way. They went through the same thing. And it's just the best community in the world, because there is recovery in sex and love addiction. You just have to commit to getting better. And if you're not committed, if you're not willing to look at your darkness, there's no way you're going to get better. And you have stepped into that. Like, okay, I have this thing I need to look at. Mm-hmm. And there is possible for change and self-love and all that goodness.
Yeah, because I was, you know, confiding in Breanne, and I'm like, I will say I was worried that I would get triggered on there, because mm-hmm. I don't like my sex addict husband, you know, and it's I don't ever want to like, but at the same time, I also know that like, we all have our stuff, but we're the people that are in there are really wanting to change and grow, just as I am too, you know. I'm like, It was interesting, because I found myself like appreciating and like loving the fact that like there are people willing to do the work. And with me, I'm like, I felt like I was coming off of heroin still, you know. It's just like my love addiction is like, love me, like, you know, show me that I'm worth the fight.
Well, that I've told you that. And I explained when I was getting my 6-month chip, this man came in and he said, I can quit heroin, but I can't quit her. Mm-hmm. And he was addicted to this girlfriend that kept cheating on him and cheating on him. And this was a man. And I think we always think like the men is the cheaters, and it goes both ways. But hey, there's empathy. If someone's willing to do the work and change, that's where you can like stand up and say, hey, people change. I know people say once a cheater, always a cheater, but I'm proof. I told you I used to cheat. We've had this discussion, and I used to like go from relationship to relationship, like you and I have talked about, and there is change is possible, but you have to be willing to do the work. And yes, you hate your cheater husband and he's not doing the work. It pisses me off. Like, I've told you how angry it makes me. But you are willing to do the work. You're willing to walk through the fire and let it burn and come out on the other side. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing that you can't feel yet. But as your friend, I can see you on the other side.
Thanks. I'm like, it's hard taking like, cause I'm like, I don't feel it yet. But, I'm curious because, so I've been doing a lot of Essanon meetings, and I've been sitting, you know, and sharing my story, and a lot of DMs that I've gotten and some of, you know, just like being in those meetings is they don't know how to leave. And it's like that brokenness and they don't feel good enough. And it's like, that part just makes me so sad for just the women out there that are in that situation and where I'm still like struggling of, you know, not feeling good enough. It's like, how do you kind of walk through that path of finding your strength?
Well, I think the first thing is admitting that you have a problem, admitting that you can't walk away from this unavailable person. Mm-hmm. Just saying that and saying, I'm struggling. I want to pick up the phone and call him. I want to try to make this work. But you have to remember, you could be the most perfect person. You could have everything someone envisions as perfection. But if they are not available, if they have something that is shutting down their, you know, connection, there is nothing you can do. And I think the second thing is being like, there is nothing you can do to make an unavailable person be available. It's impossible. That's like the most impossible task ever. So I think just understanding that, like, you could do everything perfect, Jana, and it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter.
But I look at you and we've had this thing and I've said, but you've changed, Brian. You've changed. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, and even when we were on the meeting the other day, I was like, but do they get back together? Like, there's this like, because yeah. I long for the, like, you know, I long for this, you know, the change, but at some point, like, there just might not be change, right?
Right. I mean, you and I've had this discussion for years and I told you, you know, like, stick it out, maybe separate, maybe, you know, do that work. And this last time I just said, you got to get out. It's not happening. He's not taking it seriously. And the reason that I have changed, because I was willing to look at all the things I have done to feel those feelings, to, you know, walk through the process of getting healed from sex and love addiction. It is harder to get through sex and love addiction than AA, NA. Not that any addiction is bad, but when you're addicted to people, when you're addicted to sexual acts, it is like the most difficult addiction. And like I said, you have to be willing to change. I changed for me, not for my husband, not for anybody else. I had to change for me. And if you're not willing to change if he wasn't willing to change for him, he's never going to change. He's never going to change.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just like what we've all been saying over and over. And like, that's what, like, how do you tell someone, Jana, or others listening, like, it wasn't you, it's not you. Cause I even said, I'm like, you know, all the resources in the world, someone could have everything they ever needed, but like, they have to do it ultimately, end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. Jana has to get to it herself. You and I can say everything. I can bring her in the program. I can give the tools. She has to be the one that her psyche has to like let go of the fantasy of what was, mm-hmm. or what could have been, and step into the reality of, this is the situation. This is where I am. I have to love myself enough to walk away. And I'm saying this, and this is so hard for me, you guys, to say, because I'm an advocate for any sex addict, sex and love addict, as Jana knows. I've been an advocate for their relationship, but it's just like, you have to let go when someone is not willing to do the work. It takes two people to do the work. And when that doesn't happen, you have to be able to walk away. But nobody can tell you. It's a process she has to go through, just like I had to go through, just like my sponsees, just like a million people I've worked with. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your book, because you have a book out. And yeah, tell us all about it. And yeah, I know. Well, I've read it, but yeah.
Yeah. So the book is, I'm really grateful that you brought me on, because the reason that I wanted to talk about Sex and Love Addict, I never wanted to break my anonymity, but nobody understands it. And they think it's like a made up disease, or it's a man's disease. I mean, Jana and I had that whole conversation, but I wanted to write a book that was fun. It's like a summer on the beach really fun book, but it also educates. You know, it's a story of a girl in Hollywood going through her first year of recovery. It's based on my life, other people's experiences. There's other female characters in it. And you really follow this journey of the first year of recovery, what it looks like, how horrible it is, the subtext. It's just like, it will take you through the nitty gritty, the dirty, the like embarrassing, all those things. And I just wanted to make it fun, but also educational.
For sure. And they can get it on Amazon.
Worldwide. We're worldwide now. And yeah. And the Audible just came out and it was torture recording. I almost called you and was like, can you just read the character? Because I don't want to relive all these horrible things that have happened.
Well, it's called The Secret Life of a Sex and Love Addict. It's an awesome read. It's fun. But yeah, again, it's you also are going to get an in that world. Yeah. This has been a heavy show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's life.
Yeah.
Like, and it won't always be like this.
Yeah. And feelings, here's the thing that really helped me. Feelings are meant to be felt.
Mm-hmm.
We, especially, you know, your tendency, my tendency, we don't want to feel feelings. We want to feel euphoria. Love addicts, sex addicts want to feel euphoria. But feelings are meant to be felt and you have to feel them. And you're feeling them. And every time I would cry, my therapist would tell me, you're digging through the shit to get to your gold. Like, Jana, you're digging through the shit to get to your gold. So every time you cry, just like pat yourself on the back that you're willing to walk through these uncomfortable, sad, you know, abandonment feelings, and it will go away one day. I promise.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, good.
Because right now, woof. Brianne, thank you so much for coming on the show. And guys, for everyone listening, I apologize. That was a rough one to get through. Sarah, thanks for flying in and doing this.
Of course.
Everyone, please listen to her podcast as well.
This is not the time. This is not the time.
The Net Chicks. It's amazing. They talk about, you know, shows, movies, all of it. They're hilarious. It's a good one.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I want to support my friends.
I know, but so, like, this is about you today. No, this is not. Like, no, we're supporting you today and but, doing what we can.
I promise you every week will not be a sob show. We're going to figure this out and let us know, you know, some things that you guys want us to continue to talk about. And we'll figure this out together. We're on this journey together. And I hope that we were able to help people today get through whatever they're grieving or having pain or loss with. So I'll see you guys next week, hopefully.
Oh.
Bye, guys.